And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is emotions and intuition. Each of my guests is explaining the role of emotions and intuition in our behavior. My next guest is an international management consultant with a very well-rounded background. We'll examine why the decisions that we make need to be balanced reason and instinct based on his forthcoming book, The Intuitive Compass. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you have a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Francis Scholl is an international business consultant, as I said. He lectures at Wharton and Columbia Business Schools. Francis holds a Master of Science in Management from HEC in Paris. He's also studied music, theater, and clinical psychology. He lives in Los Angeles and New York. He enjoys his French-American citizenship, and his book was a best-selling book in France. Welcome to the show, Francis. How are you today? Hello, Francis. Are you there? Okay.
I am here.
There you are. Very good. Welcome to the show, and thank you for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. So let's start at the beginning. Your book, I loved it. It's called The Intuitive Compass, Why the Best Decisions Balance Reason and Instinct. So let's start at the beginning, shall we? You say that creativity doesn't know any rules. Creativity doesn't know any timetables. And the basic thesis of your book is there is something called intuitive intelligence. So break it down for us. What is intuitive intelligence? And in what ways is that different from just your basic IQ or your emotional quotient and those kinds of things?
Well, thank you, Bill, first of all, for having me in your show. And thank you for asking this question, because it's important to clarify. Neuroscience has proved that we have intelligence in our instinct, in our gut. The important thing that intuitive intelligence puts forward is balancing our reason with our instinct, and that's the role of intuition. So intuition balances reason and instinct and allows us to leverage all of our brain, all of our capacity to actually become better problem solver and become more creative.
Well, now, all of us, Francis, know somebody who says, oh, I just feel it in my gut, or I'm going to go with my gut. We hear expressions like that all the time. But isn't a gut decision really just based on past experience that may or may not apply in a future situation?
Well, that part is true, but there's another part, too, which is it's based on what we don't know that we hold inside. In other words, there are parts of us that are unconscious, and to get to that part of us that's unconscious, where so many new ideas live, that we're not aware of, we need intuition. And that's the beauty of intuition. It can go beyond reason and logic and get us to information that we don't even know that we have within us. And that's not necessarily experience. That's just us being aware and present to life and storing information that we don't even know that we have.
All right, so we have wisdom inside us, and we need to tap into that. And so that's where you've come up with what you call the intuitive compass, and you create a synergy between your rational mind and our instincts. So talk to us about that. What is the intuitive compass?
It's an important model to explain because it's so useful for people to use. It's a simple model to help us make the best decisions by balancing our reason and logical mind with our instinctual aptitudes. It's organized around two axes, north, south, which is the axis of reason and instinct, dynamic relationship between both, and another axis, horizontal, east-west, which is a dynamic relationship between our hunger for results in life, getting things done, and the absolute need for the randomness of creativity and play. So I'm going to give you an example. There is this Buddhist saying that goes, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And the reason why it's about the journey is because when we are open to discovery, then we come up with new ideas, and then we become creative, and we can adapt much better. So that's what the intuitive compass demonstrates. Uh-huh. There is a place where play and instinct interact.
Well, it is a very interesting theory. My guest is Francois Scholl. He's the author of the book, The Intuitive Compass, Why the Best Decisions Balance Reason and Instinct. And let's bring it up to current events, if we can, Francis. Steve Jobs just passed away. In what ways did he listen and follow his intuitive compass?
Well, that's a, a very, very good question. I actually wrote a blog yesterday, a blog post on Psychology Today. We have an ongoing post, and he definitely lived in this quadrant of the compass, the southwest quadrant, where play and instinct interact together, and he was a man of conviction, a man of vision, a man of intuition, obviously, and he was able to design products beyond what was available on the market. And the way he did it is by allowing not only his amazing mind and his amazing ability to reason and use his logic, his logical mind, but he was also able to register what was going on around him. He would spend most of his time in the R&D department talking with his people, seeing what they were doing, and following their creative process and floating with them in that creative process and allowing new things to emerge.
All right. Now, you posit in the book that there's a problem with our current way of approaching solving problems and innovating. What is the core problem with how we currently approach decision-making?
The core problem that we have, Bill, is that we rely enormously, almost blindly, on the scientific mind and the logical mind. So don't get me wrong. Science has proved extremely efficient and very positive for society. But at the same time, when we stick blindly to the logic of science, the logic of the rational mind, we exclude everything else that lives around, everything that we cannot prove with logic. The bottom line is, life and logic don't match. There's a part of life that's beyond logic. And if you're not able to entertain a creative and productive relationship with that part of mind that's beyond logic, the risk you run is to actually dismiss that part of life. And that's what we've done with our model. We are not sustainable because we don't think sustainably. And the intuitive intelligence is a concept, and I can explain that later, that is, at its core, a sustainable way of thinking.
All right. Well, now, what makes your book interesting, Francis, to me, is the choice of examples that you have to illustrate your points. So let's go into a couple of these, and one because of your French-American citizenship that I found intriguing was the Concorde. I really loved the idea of the Concorde. I think that we still has a place for supersonic flight and all of that kind of thing. But you talk about in your book some of the reasons why the Concorde failed. So why did it fail? In what ways did it fail?
Well, thank you for asking this question, Bill. The Concorde is an example where great genius was mobilized to design amazing technology, and yet people were not really committed to the marketability of the plane. They never really spent the time to think of what is the experience of the traveler on the plane, and what is it that they're looking for when they pay such a high price to travel on the supersonic aircraft. Unlike Virgin America, for instance, that's allowed itself to really impose itself on the market on a difficult market where margins are low and the market is highly competitive. Virgin America has really focused on the experience of the traveler and made itself a champion at that and has been awarded many, many, many prizes for its ability to serve.
And it's been rewarded in the marketplace as well. My guest is Francis Scholl. And I like the contrast that you made between the Concorde and Virgin Atlantic. But if you were around then and you were advising the parent company of the Concorde, what would you have advised them to do differently so that the supersonic flight would have appealed more to business travelers and so forth?
It's a very good question, Bill, and thank you for asking it. The fact of the matter is I've been lucky enough to travel on Concorde, and at the time when I was traveling it, I always felt that I was treated like, you know, as if I were joining a very luxurious experience, which was true in many ways, but what was more important to me was to join a very efficient experience, and I would have loved to have massages to relax because when you arrive in New York, you have a long day ahead of you because of the time difference. You would like to be fed with food that would make you feel lighter and energized when you arrive. You would have liked to be picked up at your home and brought to your terminal in the same way as Japan Airlines First Class does it for its consumers. In other words, my advice to Concorde would have been, okay, you have an amazing technology. How are you bringing it to the market? And how do you listen to the needs of your passengers beyond the technological feat that you've achieved with this amazing aircraft.
And really, that answer sort of exemplifies one of the main points of your book, which is think paradoxically. Because here you are, you have this supersonic flight, it's this marvel of engineering, and yet they did not get the holistic experience. Talk to me about thinking paradoxically, and how does that enter into your thesis about the intuitive compass?
I love this question, Bill, and I will take an example of one of my favorite companies, and that is Google. When you look at Google's new headquarters in Europe, based in Zurich, Switzerland, it looks like a kindergarten playground. Toys, colors, igloos, swing chairs, etc. At the same time, Google is one of the most intellectual, analytical company, if we only judge by the numbers of patents they put on the market every year. So they're completely able to navigate the paradox of being intellectual and being instinctual and playful in order to bring forth the creativity of its employees. It's remarkable what they've achieved.
Well, it's a remarkable company on many, many different levels, Francis.
It is.
And the examples that you use in your book are just great. I want to come back to another one. And this is actually kind of following the career of an individual. That's Mark Hurd, formerly of IBM, now of Oracle. So what does his being fired from IBM tell us about the intuitive compass?
When Mark Hurd joined HP a few years back, it's because the company was not profitable enough. What he did was to rationalize the management of the company in a very efficient way and brought the company back to a high level of profitability. However, soon enough, R&D people felt the pressure of the margin objective, less time to work, less money to play, and explore new possibilities. And they pointed out the fact that R&D is the heart and the lungs of the company, the technology company. And to put too much pressure on the ability of creative people to have freedom to play and invest and explore is a long-term bet that is very questionable for a technology company. And that's what the R&D people said, and actually Mark Hurd has to leave.
Yeah, so boom, he gets fired from IBM. Let's follow his career just a step farther, Francis. Now he gets picked up by Oracle, and now he's working for Larry Ellison over at Oracle. What does his being hired by Oracle tell us?
It's a complex question, and many factors have been probably part of the decision, and unfortunately I don't know all the factors in the insider's information to really make a best judgment on this. So
okay.
I probably won't speak to this.
All right, so you won't even venture a guess as to how he makes a prediction about his success at Oracle, especially dealing with Larry Ellison?
Well, you know, I would reserve my answer for later times when I have more perspective to make a call on this.
Very good. My friend, my guest is Francis Scholl, author of the book, The Intuitive Compass, Why Best Decisions Balance Reason and Instinct. So you mentioned a couple of companies already that exemplify this balance that you talk about. You mentioned Google in particular. You talked about Virgin Airways as another. Let's come back to a company that Steve Jobs was very important in, and that was Pixar. In what ways does Pixar exemplify the balance that you talk about in your book?
I'm happy to speak about Steve Jobs at Pixar, and not only Steve Jobs at Apple, you know, although he's made such an impact on the world through Apple, but I think he's also done amazing things at Pixar. One of the things that, again, could be stressed when it comes to applying intuitive intelligence and the intuitive compass to business, that's the way people think of the work environment. And Pixar created such an amazing atrium, very famous for its atrium, which was this place where people could congregate and meet and talk and exchange ideas in a very free flow. Why is it important? Because creativity doesn't know rules. So the communication that you need to foster to support a creative culture needs to be a very open communication. It cannot be possible within, you know, cubicles and meeting rooms that are, you know, separating people from one another and creating barriers. And I think that's one of the genius of Steve Jobs. He really understood how to facilitate that kind of free flow of information, which is an essential condition to creative success for organizations.
Without a doubt. And you see that in companies like Pixar. You see it in companies like Google. One of the companies that you cite as an example really did strike me as interesting, though, because they're an old-line manufacturing company, and that is Kohler, the manufacturers of faucets and appliances and things like that. So talk to me about how an old-line manufacturer like Kohler can really exemplify the balance that you talk about in the Intuitive Compass.
It's an interesting point that you bring up, Bill, and that is that you don't need to be a high-tech company from the Silicon Valley to be innovative and inventive. And Kohler is a very good example of this. Kohler relies on design, relies on the appeal of products that people will put in their bathrooms or in hotels and things that people want to experience with joy and a strong feeling of beauty. Kohler understood this, and that's what brought to Kohler the attention to the arts and craftsmanship. So they created a center where artists can come and create. They're being the sponsors of these artists. And what they do is they allow their workers and their employees to be in relationship with the artists so they can learn about the creative process of these artists and craftsmen. And that fosters, again, conversations that would never happen otherwise if you had only employees working on the headquarters or factories of the company. So it's an amazing factor of diversity and creative conversations that Kohler has been able to facilitate.
Well, it is. It is absolutely an example of how the two can blend together. My guest is Francis Scholl. So Francis, you've sold me. All right, I've got the idea. Now, how do I implement that? I mean, people that are listening to the sound of our voice are probably at work right now. Can they just walk right into their boss's office and say, I need more time to play, please?
You like provocation, Bill, huh?
Yes.
So that's good. So the conversation is to look at what kind of results you're looking for. What is it that your company needs? What is it that your team needs? What is it that your department needs? What are the strategies that you want to succeed? And if, as many organizations today, you need to adapt quickly, you need to have agile employees so that they can become creative and innovative, then you need to really probably rethink the way you organize work, the way you think of efficiency and productivity. And that's when the conversation starts with your boss. Now, if you are not able to articulate these ideas, then, of course, you should look at my book where I, you know, pull out many, many tips and rules and processes to empower people in using the Intuitive Compass for the betterment and the success of the organization.
That is great. My guest is Francis Scholl, author of the book, The Intuitive Compass, Why the Best Decisions Balance Reason and Instinct. And Francis, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Intuitive Compass?
I think what's important to understand is that we've been trained for decades to think rationally and logically as being the answer to problem solving. Today, science has proved that it's an incomplete perspective and we can do much better than this and that we know much better than this. And if we're able to use intuition to balance reason and instinct, we'll get to much higher results, much higher levels of productivity, better engagement of employees and consumers. And that's what I've done with brands such as Ralph Lauren, Maybelline, Matrix, Elle. Many brands have seen enormous success in very tough markets, and it's possible. And you can find many, many tips and guidelines in my book, The Intuitive Compass, Why the Best Decisions Balance Reason and Instinct, in very simple ways to implement, very actionable solutions that I hope will be useful to you.
Now, Francis, that is great. Now, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can go to my website, www.francisscholl.com, which is Francis, FrancisCholle.com. And they will also have access to an iPhone app soon available for free for iPod, iPhone, iPad, and on Facebook, so they can practice the model of the Intuitive Compass and how to apply intuitive intelligence to make the best decisions in their life,
Oh.
Whether in business or anything that they want to see success for themselves.
Wow, that is great. So the website is francisscholle.com. Francis, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much, Bill. Okay.
Thank you.